You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Chepstow and Southwell on Monday afternoon, Windsor and Wolverhampton in the evening on the domestic front. We've also got an evening card over in Ireland from Kilbeggan, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Alistair Whitehouse-Jones. How are you, Ali?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good man. We're going to look at some Monday's racing shortly in due course, but plenty to talk about from Royal Ascot and a little bit of news here and there, so we'll start with that. Final day of Royal Ascot on Saturday. You're in the studio, Alistair, and the story writer's got a story that they can latch onto in the shape of a Royal winner as Dartmouth landed the Hardwick for the Queen and Sir Michael Stout and Olivier Pellier.
Olivier Pellier, yeah. Not my favourite jockey, but did everything right yesterday, didn't he? And Sir Michael Stout's 10th win in that race, I think.
Yeah, he's won it a lot, yeah.
It's got a remarkable record, and of course, wasn't the stable first string. Ryan Moore could have ridden either of the first two. So it just shows the best get it wrong, and but, you know, Excess Fear basically pulled far too hard.
Yeah.
During the first half of the race, didn't run its race, but popular winner in Dartmouth, and will probably, you'd have thought, be supplemented for the King George, I'd have thought. Mm. Either that, it'll either run in that if they supplement it, I don't think money's an issue, is it? or they'll run it in the Princess of Wales is at the July meeting.
Yeah.
Which is at a mile and a quarter. Mile and a half, but that could be a target.
All right. The Queen, with her 90th birthday celebrations this year, she had a celebration at Royal Ascot, and she had a Royal winner as well, I think.
Indeed.
It was 23rd winner at the Royal meeting, I think.
Yeah, superb.
Yeah, good stuff. And so I think that levelled Sir Michael Stout with Sir Henry Cecil's Royal Ascot winners as well.
Indeed. So, I guess he'll have... He described it as a poignant moment, and aptly so. Mixed feelings to a certain extent, I guess, for Stout. Obviously, they had great respect for one another, but two great masters of their trade.
Mm.
I mean, you look at Dartmouth, he's just, I guess Dartmouth typifies what Sir Michael Stout's all about. Obviously, he's renowned for his excellence with older horses, and you look how far that horse has come in 12 months. I mean, he was beaten off a mark in the low 80s at Ascot last year at the same meeting, and yet he's rated 114 before yesterday.
Yeah.
So, remarkable, really, how much that horse has come on in the last 12 months, which is, you know, down to the trainer.
Yeah. Another positive trainer story for Royal Ascot on the final day was for Henry Candy, 37 years between his last two Royal Ascot winners, Twilight Sun winning the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. Nice story there, but also we're hearing as we record this that they're going to target the July Cup, providing it's not firm ground, of course.
Yeah, and he'll take a lot of beating. He's a high-class horse. Pretty much got a faultless profile. I mean, he got beat by Muharrar last season at Ascot, one of the best sprinters we've seen in recent times. And then, you know, at York, he had a Group 1 penalty. He was drawn on the wrong side of the course on his comeback. That was a positive performance as well, looking back, and teed him up perfectly for yesterday. And, could face Limato. I don't know. I think Henry Candy's toying with the idea of either running Limato in the July Cup or sending him over a mile again, which personally I hope he does it. I think he said the Ascot race on that day is a summer mile. That'd be a good target for that horse. I really fancied him for the Queen Anne on day one, but the weather turned, obviously, so...
Yeah, he ran in the lockinge, didn't he? So
ran in the lockinge and ground was wrong. Still convinced he stays a mile. I think he'd have been a cracking bet on fast ground in the Queen Anne, but it wasn't to be. If he turns up at Ascot on that turning track over a mile, it's a stiff mile, admittedly, but I think the horse has got significant potential over a mile, and what he will be keen to do is keep those two horses apart, you'd have thought. No trainer likes to run their best two horses up against each other.
No. I've got a story about that later on in a minute as well. The July Cup betting looks like this at the moment. Twilight Sun 9-2, Magical Memory 6-1, 10-1 Limato, 10s for Quiet Reflection, 12-1 Air Force Blue and Bobby's Kitten. Also Signs of a Blessing and 14-1. What bigger prices for the rest? Other standouts from Alaska, if I had to ask you, what would be your standout performance and disappointment of the week?
Whew. Standout performance, how many do you like? I mean, I thought Caravaggio was immensely impressive in the Coventry, given how the race unfolded. Why that race isn't a Group 1, I'll never know. It's got to be promoted to Group 1 status, given the quality of horses it produces year in, year out. I thought Ribchester was incredibly impressive in the Jersey. Order of St George, different league in what was a strong Gold Cup. I thought Jenny's Jewel sort of gone under the radar because she just epitomised, you know, what a racehorse should be about. You know, making all over that 2.5 miles. You know, what a joy to own. You know, a horse that's gives her all over hurdles and on the flat. As for disappointments, obviously the Japanese horse was a big flop in the Prince of Wales Stakes, but it is a tall order coming from a different continent. We see it time and time again, you know, horses just blowing out at Ascot, and I guess for that reason, Tepin, you know, her performance needs upgrading.
Yep.
In the Queen Anne. I think the Gurkha was a bitter disappointment, the fact that he got beat, you know, when he was without question the best horse in the race. Ryan Moore will look back on that, and the thing about Ryan Moore, he's not afraid of getting beat like some jockeys. You know, if it doesn't pan out, then he'll take it on the chin. And looking back, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say Detroit's rode him to sleep, but
Detroit was in the right place all the way through.
He just was, yeah.
And Ryan Moore was in the wrong place for most of the race.
Yeah, and Ryan Moore wasn't the only one either, but. Yeah, I hope the Gurkha goes to the Eclipse, because I think if he does, then he'll take the world a beating.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it's all right with Ryan Moore, isn't it? He knows if he gets that big race wrong, he's got another one around the corner. So
absolutely,
he's not afraid to take a chance maybe every now and
again. No, that's right, you know. And Found, I'd say, she deserves a mention, got edged out in the Prince of Wales Stakes, but just an, you know, the constitution of that mare is beyond belief.
Yeah, she's hardy to say the least,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, she just keeps turning up at these big gigs and running her heart out. Must be, you know... And that's a great thing about Ballydoyle, and, you know, they did come in for criticism now and again, but they're not, you know, defeat isn't a dirty word.
Mm.
And Found just keeps turning up and, you know, win or lose. She gives it her absolute all.
Yeah. Last bit of news I'm going to mention. It goes back to the point you were saying about trainers trying to keep runners apart and owners doing the same as well. On the back of Royal Ascot, I've got some jumps news for next season.
Freaking Mark.
Yeah. I was just flicking through the news to see what we could talk about, and Rich Ritchie's been talking about Faheen and Annie Power next season.
Yeah.
Obviously both of them champion hurdle winners. He wants to keep them apart. And the idea is possibly step Faheen up in trip rather than Annie Power back up in trip.
Yeah.
I think it's because no mare has ever won 2 champion hurdles, so it'd be a piece of history. And she'd be the defending champion, if you like.
Yeah, I think he's within his right to keep them apart. But yeah, you'd have thought Faheen would stick to 2 mile and Annie Power would go back up and trip, having been placed in a world hurdle, or even go the Gold Cup route, Annie Power. But obviously she would emulate Dawn Run, should she win a champion hurdle and Gold Cup, which would be a feather in her cap, to put it mildly. God. I mean, seems a long way away.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it just caught my eye. You know, I was like, jumping. No, it's not for months yet.
I could be dead come the start of the jump season. I mean, I'm not going to worry about it too much.
Well, what a beautifully cheery note to move on to Monday's action there. We'll leave that there and we'll get stuck into Monday. We've got 4 races picked out. Alistair's going to give us his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to spin through these in chronological order. We've got a race at Chepstow, a race at Southwell, and 2 races on the Monday evening action at Windsor. We'll start in the 2:45 at Southwell. which is a handicap chase over just short of 2 miles, a Class 4 event. We've got 12 of them in the lineup here, Alistair. And if we may, can we start with Somcheen, who was only narrowly denied at the course over 2.5 miles last time. Is a previous course and distance winner as well. So interesting that, given that result, drops back to 2 miles here.
Yeah, Andrew Thornton was in the studio yesterday and he was telling me actually that they expect this horse to go well. Coming back in distance, as you said, struggles to win. Only won 3 times out of 22 starts and keeps knocking on the door. But yeah, 2 mile, he said 2 mile round, you know, flat course like Southall is, will suit him down to the ground and he's sure to be thereabouts.
Yeah, not your selection though.
No, he's not. I'm going to go with the Sue Smith horse, Never Up, who... I thought it was quite eye-catching at Cartmel last time. It was always up with the pace and they went really hard up front and no surprise that he tired in the closing stages. That would be comfortably his best run yet over fences, and that was only his fourth attempt as well. And interestingly, his first three runs were in this discipline were on testing ground where it was good last time, and those were also the conditions for his only win on the flat. So I think good ground's the key to this horse, and they do get racing a long way out at Cartmel. I know it's a sharp, easy track, but you know, it can take some getting if you race prominently off a really whirlwind gallop. And I thought you could definitely upgrade that horse's performance. So I think he's off a mark he can win off. He's only 5, and Never Up is the selection.
Never Up then for Alistair in the 2.45. Moving to Chepstow next for their 3.30. This is a Class 5 handicap over 1.25 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We've got 11 of them in the lineup here, Alistair. And who'd you like in there? I thought this was relatively tricky.
Yeah, they're going to probably bet 4-1 the field, if not bigger, on this race. 11 runner affair. So, yeah, it's an open handicap. I thought Compton Mill might go well for Huey Morris. And he was a little disappointing with Ryan Moore riding him on the all-weather last time out. But, you know, it wasn't that bad an effort. And he has gained his only win on Politrack. But I thought he ran really well from the front at Leicester over this trip of 1.25 miles on his reappearance. And I think that's a key to his chance here. He's been dropped £3 since then, and I think the easier ground on Monday will definitely play to this horse's strength. So I think off the mark of 73, he will be anything you back in this race, you could back each way, because they're going to be, like I said, 4-1 the field. I expect this horse to be about 5-6-1, and each way I think he'll give you a run for your money.
Yeah, Huey Morrison's team in pretty good order at the moment as well. So Compton Mill, the selection for Alistair there then in the 3.30 at Chepstow. To wins we go next for the 6.50 Class 4 handicap here over 1 mile. 3-year-olds in this lineup, 8 of them as well. And we've got some interesting unexposed ones in here that obviously open to further improvement. So is it a relatively long shortlist?
Yeah, it's a good race, this. Yeah, you could make a case for a few of these. I mean, House of Commons won his maiden last time. The placed horses have been beaten in Northern maidens subsequently, so I don't think the form's that strong, but he won nicely enough. He's likely to improve. You've got Philadelphia, who was a good winner of a soft ground maiden at Doncaster, and then almost certainly found the ground too fast when disappointing on his handicap debut. So he can come on as well. Rocksteady is an unexposed horse. Maiden winner last time out in October for Roger Charlton. Interesting that one's been gelded since, so would be open to improvement. So it's an interesting little race list. The one I'm going to go for is one of the less sexy ones, if you like, Sir Roderick from the Milman Yard. You know, I don't think this horse is wildly well handicapped, but what you're going to get is a horse that's going to run his race, and this is perfect for him. You know, a mile on easy ground is what this horse dreams about. He began the season with convincing couple of wins at Windsor and at Haydock. I thought then 1.25 miles just stretched him at Salisbury, and then, you know, back at 1 mile at Leicester, he ran right up to his best. That was on good ground. He is edging up the weights in defeat, but as I said, I expect him to just find a little bit on that latest run. Now he's going to get his ground on Monday, and I think he's a real, you know, he's a rock solid proposition. And you know, you've got a couple of horses in there who are going to make the market as well, as in the Varian and the Cole horses, you know, unexposed maiden winners from top yards. So I think he could be a bit of value.
Bit of value then in the shape of Sir Roderick. Could be interesting if James Milman naps that one to keep an eye on the naps table. on Monday. We finish off in the 720 at Windsor, and this one is part of the Windsor Sprint Series. It's a qualifier for the final. Six furlong race for the three-year-olds, eight of them in the lineup here, Alistair. Which are the sprinters do you like in here?
Yeah, again, this is another good little race. The one I like is Bounce from the Hendy Candy Yard. Of course, Henry Candy hasn't had the best of seasons, but Twilight Sun turned that around on Saturday, and I think Bounce is definitely a sprinter with more to offer. Ran a really encouraging comeback race at Leicester 3 weeks ago, and I thought she shaped like the best horse in the race that day, really moved well throughout the contest, but just didn't get home, almost certainly blew up, and never liked that phrase, blew up, but just smacked of a horse that would come on for the run. Ground's a bit of an issue, but did run a nice race on Good to Soft first time out on debut at Newbury, I think it was. So I think if she handles the ground, then she's the most likely improver. And Bounce is the one. The other interesting horse against her would be King of Naples, who is a hard puller, been running over further. I think coming back to, I just think sprinting could be the name of the game for this horse at this stage of his career. I think he'll get seven eventually, but right now I think because he races very keenly, I think he could improve for the return to sprinting. And James Fanshawe's having winners, George Wood, good value for his claim, so I think King of Naples could also run well.
Okay, King of Naples to run well, but Bounce the selection. Yeah,
Bounce is the selection.
All right, good stuff. A little bit of a summary before you go, Alistair, then. Let's just reel off your selections for Monday, if you would.
Yeah, 2:45 at Southall. We go for Never Up, the Sue Smith horse, who ran its best race yet over fences last time out. 3:30 at Chepstow, the Yuri Morrison-trained Compton Mill. Then in the evening, fixture at Windsor. So Roderick gets the vote in the 6:50 with Bounce. The selection in the six furlong sprint, due off at 7:20.
Superb, good work, Alistair. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Chepstow and Southwell in the afternoon, Windsor, Wolverhampton and Kilbeggan in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.